Blog Talk Radio.
Your freshness, I await the day I can stand in your presence. Gave me your next mark, it's part of my essence. I look to the sky cause you're gave us your word in the form of the Bible. To you there's no equal, you have no rivals. Without you, life is lifeless, no vitals. Worship you when you alone. Your character and nature, they don't change. Let everything that has breath praise your name. With you, nothing's impossible. Almighty power, your kingdom come, y'all. We await the hour. Created the cosmos, the stars and the heavens. Made man in your image, the rest of the seven. You're always on time, like a metronome. My shepherd died with me when the pressure was on. I know the nation, put the Christ in your place. The creation over the creator, a spit in your face. But now we, your sons and daughters, we call you Abba, told our Rabba, Rukata, hallelujah. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. You saw fit to give me life in the form of a baby, then placed me in the care of a wonderful lady who raised me against the odds. Promise we had dozens. Father, right there for me when my first one wasn't. So many times I could have died. The reason I'm alive through the sex and violence of the hood, you helped me survive. You snatched me by the hand and gave me a new start. So now I serve you with my whole mind and heart. What others didn't see, you saw beneath the surface. You opened my eyes up and gave me a new purpose. Blessed me with a beautiful wife and kids, with food, a job, a beautiful place. So live, cast my worries on you when things are narrow. Know you watching over me if you got the eyes on the sparrow. See, I put down the source and went to the source. Every since then, my whole life has been on course. Make me a man after your heart like David. And I'ma rep your Torah and your name is sacred. Showed your love when you let your son die to atone for me. It's enough to make a grown man cry. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the plane. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the plane. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, y'all, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're.
Shalom, 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 and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, your teacher, as well as your servant, Georgia Johnson. Today, family, is the 5th of February, 2013. We're going to getting a little understanding about Jezebel, okay? The title of the show today is Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. And many people who read the scriptures already know that that's exactly who Jezebel is. But we're going to give more understanding to Jezebel so that Jezebel is not misused to talk about Hebrew sisters or Hebrew sisters. That's what's going on right now in Israel. But anyhow, as I was going through the book of Kings, family, you know, hey, I had to do it. The Father led it on me because there's a lot in the book of Kings, Jezebel is one hot topic, not only because she's in the Book of Kings, she's also in the Book of Revelations. She can also tie in what many people think to be Babylon, which is America, and it gives you a lot of clues within Jezebel and Revelation. So we're going to go and take a look at Jezebel and get a good understanding of who she was in biblical history and what she represents today in the year 2013. Now, this understanding will differ much from what people are saying about the term Jezebel or that woman Jezebel. So, you know, it's really here. We're doing this lesson today to give everybody a little bit more understanding so they don't use that word so loosely, especially when you're speaking of a Hebrew sister. Get it out your mouth. Ain't talking about a Hebrew sister, okay? Get it out your mouth. We're going to get to the truth of this understanding. So I welcome each and every one of you today as we sojourn together one more day that the Father has given us to get understanding. And I ask everybody to raise their hands with me in honor and praise of our Father Yahuwah. Dear Heavenly Father Yahuwah, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Father, we thank you just for every day that we can learn more within our history book that you have preserved for us. Father, we thank you for the power and the understanding through the Ruach, which was given to each and every one of us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahushua, your Son. Father, we ask that you flow through everyone who is in ear range so they can get understanding about Jezebel, spoken of within our history, our Hebrew history book. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. There is no other but you, Father, and we recognize that, and we thank you for being long-suffering with us. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've shown to each and every one of us, and you are still showing to our family. Father, in Yahushua's precious name, we say hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, family, we're going to get started here because I see that I am way behind schedule. I'm almost 50 minutes late. Hey, I thank each and every family member who has, you know what's going on. No better way to say that, you know what's going on. Brother Calvin, I see you out there. Shalom, shalom. And I don't know too many other people out there. I mean, not by sight. I know Sister Sharon is, yep, the sister. Sister Sharon, shalom, shalom, and there's other family members on the phone line as well. I just don't know them all by heart, but hey, shalom and welcome. We are getting ready to go into Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. Okay, we are getting ready to go into that. We probably have to pull the full, we'll have to go into the third hour because I've wasted so much time trying to get on the internet once again. I was on the phone with AT&T doing my normal right before show. Really pushing it, telling them, hurry up, hurry up. And they want to talk slow, you know. But I got on. So, hey, all praises to the Most High. Anyhow, we have to go into Jezebel. We have to go into Jezebel. Specifically, I want to go just get a little ground foundation because a lot of people, you know, they read the Book of Kings. Actually, when they go to the Book of Kings, you're going to come up with a lot of names. And sometimes the names look just like each other. It's really hard because the name switching keeps going on and on and on with these genealogies and these kings and who surpassed this one and who's the son of that one. And, you know, it can get a little frustrating. It's the same thing like when you go to the Book of Chronicles. All the genealogies are throughout the Scripture. A lot of people like to bypass over those. But, you know, in a way, those are very important that we get a little understanding of those genealogies. So where I want to first begin, before we get into Jezebel, a little foundation laying which everyone needs to be founded on in truth. First, I want to take everybody, and I'm just going to read a couple things here and there, give everybody a little bit of understanding. I'm going to give you guys the link at where I'm at. I'm at 1 Kings. If you're at home, you can go open up as well. I'm at 1 Kings chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Because, see, we got to get some understanding about what was going on in Israel. Okay, what was happening in Israel? Now, many of us do understand that when we came to, in the book of Joshua leading into the book of Judges, when we were supposed to get the heathen off the land, we didn't do it. We didn't obey. That's Israel's biggest problem, not obeying. So we understand that Israel was sojourning with all the heathens, okay? So one of the other things that's really prominent in the book of Judges, if you go ahead and read it, I'm not going to read it for you, but if you go ahead and read through the book of Judges, you'll see the same type of thing happening that where we were rebellious time after time after time against our father Yahuwah. We did not obey. Okay, Samuel, it happened in Samuel, but not as much in Samuel. You flip over to Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, oh boy, Israel just was going crazy. One of the biggest things that people overlook is we were given a commandment by our father not to take on these strange women and not to go into them and not to, you know, back and forth. We were supposed to say Kodesh. And a lot of people memorialize King Solomon. And I would say, yes, he had wisdom. That was beautiful. But, yes, he sinned as well. And people don't want to reflect on what he did wrong. But as heirs of the kingdom, we got to know what's in the our history book. King Solomon had much wisdom, but King Solomon also sinned. Okay, David sinned as well, but King Solomon really sinned because he took on all those strange wives. And you see, that's why the kingdom had to be rent. We're going to get into why. When he took on all these strange wives, what happened? Because it was warned to him. Let's go there. Let's get a little understanding so we can get down to finding out about Jezebel. Okay, when you go to 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read it, and we're going to get a little understanding. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Most High and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that Yahuwah appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And Yahuwah said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou walk before me, there it is. There's always a stipulation, family, just like when you get to the curses. If you do this, if you do this, I will do this. Well, let's see what the father says to Solomon. Verse 4. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I gave them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it will be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why has Yahuwah done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook Yahuwah their father, whom brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath Yahuwah brought upon all this evil. So it's not like Solomon didn't know. Okay, the second time he talked to the Most High, it was made very clear what he was ought to do. And he was definitely to keep the commandments, statutes, everything that the father put forward to them, to him, and not take these strange wives and so forth. So by the time we get to 1 Kings chapter 11, okay, the brunt of it gets here in 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to give everybody on the chat line the link there as well so you guys can keep up with me, because Jezebel is interesting. A lot of people say a lot of stuff about Jezebel. I don't really understand if they know what they're talking about. So we're going to go there. 1 Kings chapter 11. Okay, everybody at home, if you have a Bible, open it up. market. 1 Kings chapter 11. We're getting ready to find out what was it that Solomon, after the Most High came to him the second time and told him what he needed to do to make sure that his house was established, what did he need to do? And did he do it? We're going to find out. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which Yahuwah said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with Yahuwah his father, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahuwah, and went not fully after Yahuwah, as did David his father. So we see that by taking on the strange women, which in the book of Joshua we're warned not to do, as well as we are told we were doing it in the book of Judges. And then we wonder why, after we finish reading the book of Kings, and then we go to the Chronicles and get right to Ezra and Nehemiah, why was the seat so polluted? Why was all of these people claiming to be Israel right up there with the tribes? You know, why were they there? And we had all these polluted people there. Well, we're going to get some understanding, family. It reads, we're going to go back to Solomon chapter 11. So we understand that Solomon did not do what he was supposed to do. He gave, he took on many of these strange wives, and it says in verse 7, let me reread it. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifices unto their gods. And Yahuwah was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from Yahuwah, father of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which Yahuwah commanded, so he did not obey, family. Wherefore Yahuwah said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely run the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. That's important. And I will give it to thy servant. The servant's going to have, and I tell you what, you go look up in the scriptures, Jeroboam and who was over Israel, it might read that those were Hebrews. It might read that those were Hebrews. Remember, he had many strange wives. Okay, remember that. You've got to go back to the book of David. David was bringing in them strange people too. Look at the last, I think it's the last chapter of 2 Samuel. When Samuel knew who he had sinned after he started counting up the people, and Israel had like some 100,000 more than the tribe of Judah. And he realized that he had sinned. And you go look up those names. Okay, they kept bringing in these strange nations. Because remember, in the book of book of Judges, we didn't get them off the land. We did not get them off the land. We kept commingling with them. Anyhow, so it tells us, notwithstanding in thy days will I not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rent it out of thy son's hand. So that's what the Most High is letting him know. I'm going to keep the kingdom in your hand, but I'm not going to rent it from you. It's going to be your son. I'm going to rent it out of his hand. And he just told us that he said he will give part of the kingdom to one of David's servants. Verse 13, howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son David, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And Yahuwah stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. Then he tells us in verse 16, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel in Edom, until he had cut off every male in Edom. That Hadad fled, he and the certain Edomites of his father's house, of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. Let's go a little further. What you're going to get understanding when you talk about going to Egypt, there were Canaanites up in Egypt too. Don't forget about that. I'm not talking about the original seed of Ham. I'm talking about the Canaanites who were in, when you get to the book of Genesis, they were going back and forth between the natural lineage of Ham, between them and the Canaanites. That was taking place in the time of Joseph's stay in Egypt. So just keep this in mind. It says, and they arose, let me go back. Verse 17, that Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a child, and they arose out of Midian and came to Paran. And they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt, unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife a of the sister, let me read again, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes bare him Genaroboth, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genaroboth was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of the Pharaoh. Verse 21, and when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go into my own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me, that, behold, thou seekest to go to thy own country? And he answered, nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. And Yahuwah stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliadad. Remember, we're talking about King Solomon, okay? So Most High stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliadad, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captains over band. When David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there, and reigned in Damascus. And he was adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel, and reigned over Syria. All these places. Keep in mind where these Edomites are going to, family. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother name was Zerah, a widow woman, keep that in mind, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. That sounds strange. That's why he Jeroboam did not like Solomon, because he fixed up Milo, and he repaired breaches to the city of David. And remember the serpent seed, family. I'm going to give you little hints here and there, but I wanted to bring this out because a lot of people don't understand that Most High always used the other nations to chastise us with. That's what I'm trying to get across right now. It may sound like these people are Israel, the way it's worded, but you got to watch what's going on. So we know that Jeroboam The only reason he didn't like or he lifted up his hand against Solomon was because Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah and the Shilonite found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. Let me move my mic over because it's giving me a little problem. Give me 1 second. There we go. Okay. And I'm reading this quickly because the other information, you know, you're really going to get it if I give you the foundation, lay it right. You're really going to get the understanding of Jezebel. Okay, so it tells us that Jeroboam had a new garment on, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent in 12 pieces, verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahuwah, the father of Israel. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake. That's two of the tribes, right? The city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because that they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Keep in mind that Zidonian, because we're going to be hitting it up with Jezebel, okay? Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. Now remember, David, his father. Okay, and remember, widow. Widow, those names are so important. Y'all going to get it in a second. 34, howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light away, alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen me to put my name there. There's always a remnant family. Remember that. 37. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desires, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep the statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Okay, that was your northern kingdom. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. And Jeroboam arose and fled where? Into Egypt. Jeroboam fled to Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the Acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Okay, fam, I want to give you that background because you got to know that because we sinned, okay, we as still a nation, Solomon was our forefather, because we sinned, and actually this sin right here, this particular sin went to Solomon, but you're going to see how we still continuously kept sinning. Even if Solomon wasn't sinning, we were sinning before Solomon. So because we sinned, like I said, because of all the sinning that Israel did, by the time Solomon sinned, okay, father rent the kingdom, divided the kingdom. instead of all Israel being under Solomon like it was under David, well, now, boom. Split the kingdom in two. You got your northern tribes and you got your southern tribes. So now we're going to find out what's going on here, because we have to make sure that we understand it was Israel who sinned. When you go look up Jeroboam, just a little information. It says the first king of Jeroboam after the revolt, promoted by Solomon. And you can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 11, 28. It says, Ahijah prophecy concerning, I'm not going to read all this to you. I don't want to read all this to you. What I wanted you guys to get, if you go look, and I do have it on my page, I'm not going to go through it because we're lacking on time, but you go ahead and look up Jeroboam. Use the Net Bible if you can. Gives a lot more information. Go look up Hadad, the Edomite. Okay? You might get a little understanding that those who ruled over Israel, the northern kingdom, very questionable family. You know it has to be questionable, because by the time we got into the land to rebuild it during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, it was so polluted. So you go do your own research on that. But just remember, the Father always used the other nations to chastise Israel. So now we're going to just get understanding that that possibly could have been polluted seed there. I'm going to leave it like that. I want everybody to research it themselves, and later I might come back on with some more. But right now I'm going to leave it just like that. I've already done it. The people on our family members who go to our show notes, they can get what I have. Okay. But one of the things we have to realize before we go to Jezebel, we have to understand that Israel seemed to be always in rebellious against Yahuwah and not obeying. Not obeying. That's the biggest thing we always did. God always got us into trouble. Always, family. I'm going to take you guys to Isaiah. I'm going to read Isaiah 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 19. Okay? Isaiah 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 19. If you're at home, you got your Bibles, open it up, because you better make sure you know why we're in this situation. You know, I can tell you, yeah, we kept sinning continuously. I can tell you what books to look at, but unless you do it, you're not going to really get the understanding how long-suffering Most High Yahuwah was with his people, okay? Let's go there real quick. I just gave everybody the link to Isaiah 1, verses 1 through 19, okay? And I'm going to read something for you guys, because this is going to lead way as to what I want to talk about here. Okay. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. It says, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for Yahuwah have spoken, and I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Now, this is talking about the time when we were under the, we were with all the other nations, sacrificing to their gods, their deities. If you read any of the books I just named, go from Judges forward, you'll see how Israel started taking on the ways of the heathen and worshiping their gods. Remember, Judges 2, the father said, because you didn't get them off the land, I'm going to leave them right there to prove you. And we were still supposed to say Kodesh and listen and hearken to our father's word. But first thing we do, you go read Judges chapter 3, it said that the Hebrew men took the strange wives and then they gave their daughters to the others. So right off the bat, we were doing craziness, bringing folly into Israel. Got to know that. Got to know that. It's going to be important for the entire understanding, okay? So the father tells us, the ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahuwah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Speaking of Israel, okay, Israel and you could say Israel and Judah, if you want to say it like that, or I would just say all Israel, okay? It says, for the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They don't close up. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. They ain't going to get better is what he's saying. Then he tells us, your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughters of Zion, which is Israel, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. The daughter of Zion is being spoken of there is the same daughter of Zion that is being spoken in the New Covenant, where it talks about how the daughter of Zion, she's haughty. Everybody thinks that talks about a woman too. No, that's talking about the children of Israel. Okay? So the Father goes on to tell us, he says, except Yahuwah of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. Now, when I say that, and the scriptures say that, should take you right back to me telling you about how that he would give the northern kingdom, the ten tribes, the northern kingdom to Jeroboam. And if you follow that list through Jeroboam, some unrighteous people were in there. So keep in mind, he allowed his son Rehoboam to keep that small remnant. Although that small remnant went bucking wild like the northern kingdom. But there was always a remnant, okay? He left that remnant where he said that there would always be someone from the house of David sitting on that throne. So he put Solomon, his son, over him. Well, Solomon messed up. So now he put Rehoboam, the actual seed line. How do you know? You go back to Matthew's, okay? Matthew's. I think it's in book one, Matthew chapter one. It gives you the lineage, the kingly lineage from Solomon. And you're not going to catch any of the names of the kings of Israel in that lineage. They were not called. Remember, Solomon had many wives. Remember that, okay? So he said, except, let me go a little bit back. I want to make sure y'all getting it now. He said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as lodged in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except Yahuwah of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahuwah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our father, Yahuwah, ye people of Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahuwah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our father, Yahuwah, ye people of Gomorrah. See what I'm saying? If you didn't get what I'm saying, what I'm telling you is this. He always loved a remnant. The remnant that stayed under his son Rehoboam, that's the lineage that you're going to see when you go to the book of Matthew, lining right back into Yahushua. When you go to Jeroboam, that would be more like the people who were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? He says, give ear unto the law of our fathers, Yahuwah, ye people of Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahuwah, ye rulers of Sodom. Okay, the Father always chastised Israel with the other nations. Just keep that in mind. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? This is what we did wrong. This is why Yahushua had to come and bring his spiritual, because here's, I'm going to read it. Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said Yahuwah? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts. I didn't tell you to come with these sacrifices. Who are you sacrificing? Who called you to do this? That's what he's saying. We were doing folly in Israel. We were sacrificing to these other deities. Yahuwah is just making it known. We're supposed to understand this. Then Yahuwah says in verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Shabbats, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When ye spread forth those hands to cry to me, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, said Yahuwah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's all I want to read for y'all, because you see, that was the biggest problem with Israel. Israel would not obey. One of the biggest things was serving these other deities, and we were doing sacrifices to them. Got to know that. Got to go ahead and read the scriptures itself. Pick up with, I tell you, if you really want to get some good understanding, go ahead and pick up with 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, go into 1 Kings, 2 Kings. You're going to get what you need to know. What we were doing wrong, okay? You're going to get it right there. You can go some other places too, but for a start, take time out, read a chapter or two every day till you get it all read and get the understanding. We're going to go on. We're going to go to this Jezebel. Got to give you a little understanding what Israel was doing wrong, and because of what Israel did wrong, the Israel was split into two nations, the same people, but it was split. You had the one tribe, which they say one, but we know he gave one for David's sake and one for the land's sake. So we had Benjamin and Judah, which made up Judah, and that was your southern kingdom. And that stayed within Rehoboam, which is the son of Solomon. It stayed right with him. Now, the other one was Jeroboam. He got Israel. He got the 10 other tribes. Okay? Now, the reason why I tell you that is because we will find out that Jezebel married one of the kings that went into the northern kingdom, which was under not Solomon's son. Just keep that understanding. Jezebel, let me give you a little bit of understanding what they have in here about Jezebel. I'm actually taking this little from this little article from Wikipedia. It says the name Jezebel came to be associated with false prophets, and further associated by the early 20th century with fallen or abandoned women. In Christian lore, a comparison to Jezebel suggests that a person was a pagan or an apostate masquerading as a servant of the Most High. By manipulation and or seduction, she misled the saints of the Most High into sins of idolatry and sexual immorality. In particular, Jezebel has come to be associated with promiscuity. In modern usage, the name Jezebel is sometimes used as a synonym for sexual promiscuity and sometimes controlling women. Now, this is what they have in Wikipedia concerning Jezebel. But let's go, and just get a little understanding about Jezebel. Like I said, in order to get understanding about her, you got to go back to the Book of Kings and get that full understanding when she came on the scene. She's in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, they talk about her. But anyhow, let me just give you a little bit more understanding. When I told you guys that the kings of, I have a chart here. As a matter of fact, I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you this link I have because you might find it somewhat interesting. Okay, it is on our website in my notes, but I want to share it with the family. You know, this might benefit you somewhat if you need to go, instead of trying to open your Bible and follow along step by step, it is marked here for you. Right there, I just gave everyone a link, and this is Kings of Judah and Israel. Okay, these are the Kings of Judah and Israel. Because sometimes when we go through these genealogies, a lot of the names sound alike, so I usually try to separate them somehow. Well, they had them separated already, and they'll tell you who the father of this person is. Well, after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. We know that we had the northern, okay, that was Israel, and we had the southern, that was Judah, two tribes in Judah, and then we had 10 in Israel. We know that Israel didn't get one of Solomon's true sons on his throne to rule over them, but the father used of another nation to chastise Israel, okay? And you got to go back to reading Samuel to get understanding. There was a lot that Israel did. Judah was sticking with King David. Israel was not. So you got to go back and get that understanding, but I'm running short on time, so that's a little reading for you. Let's move on. We know that the son of Nebat, that was Jeroboam. The son of Jeroboam is Nadab. The son of Ahijah was Baasha. The son of Baasha was Eliah. These are the people on the throne. Okay, Eliah, right after him. Then there was Zimri. He only reigned 7 days, by the way. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. While they were under Israel, they divided themselves once again into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri, okay? Well, Omri wound up winning over. So after Omri, Ahad, the son of Omri, okay, was to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. So you're seeing that all of this list came of the kings of Israel. Not that Rehoboam didn't do any wickedness, because yes, he did. Wickedness followed with both of them, but he wanted to make sure, regardless, that there would always be one of the called lineage of Israel sitting on David's throne. That's what's important, okay? What's also important is, out of the kings of Israel, that's who took Jezebel. You're going to see what I mean in a second. That's who took Jezebel to wife. Now, let's go there. That's a dad, Ahab. Okay, well, hold on. Let me get there. When you go to 1 Kings, verse 16 to 20, go to 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16, I'm going to give everybody a link if you're at home. Now, y'all know I'll be rushing through stuff, but you always got the show. You can always go back and listen. Family members, you'll have the show notes, but I'm just trying to get it all in because lately you guys, you know, I've been getting kicked off the computer left and right. And I'm just trying to make sure I get as much in, you know, to everybody. So I kind of go a little fast, but I'll try to slow down a little bit. Okay, when you go look in 1 Kings chapter 16, I'm going to be reading verses 29 to 34. Now remember, you got the kingdom is split. At this point right here, you got Jeroboam's lineage. Okay, that was the northern kingdom, which was not in Yahushua's lineage. But then you have David's, Solomon's son, Rehoboam. I don't know why I said Rehab, but Rehoboam, okay? And he had the southern, the two tribes of southern, okay, kingdom. And there was always someone of the seed of Jesse and out of the loins of David, as they say, or I might have those vice versa, but it was always someone from the actual seed line, the cult lineage, that sat on the throne of Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom. So it tells us, 1 Kings 16, verses 29 and 34, and in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of Yahuwah above all that were before him. And this is a progression. This is why I read to you guys. You remember, if the leaders, remember how they said, when the leaders rule you, which were the men, when the leaders rule you, the people become wicked too. And the Most High had a problem with that. That's why he rent the kingdom. He left the remnant with his son Rehoboam. Okay? And as far as Israel, he chastised them with, it wasn't a pure seed there. Just like when we get into the other sons like Esau and Jacob. Well, we know by sight, yes, they came out of this man's loins, but who's their father? Well, the called lineage we know comes from the Most High, and they called him to be Jacob. Esau had another father because he was considered a Gentile. That's what I'm saying here. When you get to these sons that they're putting on thrones, just pay attention. So it tells us that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Most High Yahuwah above all that were before him. All of that lineage that was on Jeroboam's king line of all the kings of Israel, they were doing wicked off the start, but they just really, because Jeroboam had the two calves built, remember, right off the bat. Yo, we got to know them by their fruit. It's not always going to say it, and they try to hide who these people are, but when you really take a look at what they're doing, Jeroboam wanted to kill off Solomon because what? He was mad at Solomon because Solomon tried to repair David's, what was it called? I just said it. He wanted to repair breaks that by the house of David. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to do that. He went to Milo. Is that a reason to want to kill off the king? No, something else is going on here. So it said that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Most High Yahuwah above all that were before him. They were just getting worser and worser and worser. You know, Israel followed along, okay? And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. We're talking about Ahab here. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took a wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now remember, we talked about Zidonians, the Zidonian goddess and the Zidonians and all this. All this stuff actually, family, let me write it back up to the New Covenant. And I put on the my show notes a little clip in there with Paul's journeys. Okay, because he was dealing with that Zidonian goddess and all that, you know. And I'm going to look it up for you. But I put some extra information on the show notes, which it's just extra, but I'm going to talk about it. So you're not missing nothing if you're not a family member. It's just that they don't have to work for it. It's right there for them. All they do have to do is build on what I already have. You got to research your own if you're not a family member. That's the only difference. Okay. Anyhow, so, you know, this Ahab, the son of Omri, he went and got him more parts in the scripture. I think it's in the Strong Concordance or the Net Bible, where it tells you that he did worse than Solomon, you know, or he did as Solomon. It was something in there. But anyhow, it said that he went and walked in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like it was nothing at all, just to go ahead and do this. He took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, it says king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So in error right there. You're supposed to be over Israel. You're in error right there. When you go look up the word Jezebel, you're going to get Hebrews 3:48. Okay, Jezebel means Baal exalts, or Baal is husband to, or unchaste. Okay, queen of Israel, wife of Ahadad, daughter of Ethbaal. Now, you see, the thing is, when you go and read that, people read queen of Israel. Boop, she's a Hebrew Israelite. No, she was not. No, she was not, because you keep reading the story. It tells us that she was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. Okay, and that Zidonians and what they were worshiping, they went and they served Baal. Father wasn't wanting us to do that. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. So why would you say that this woman, Jezebel, when it tells you she was a daughter of Ethbaal, her father was the king of Zidonian, and they were serving Baal, why would you think that this would be a Hebrew? Or why would you compare a Hebrew sister every time you can't understand scripture to this heathen? It really is a disgrace. But let's go a little further. When you go look in the genus lexicon, it tells you Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of Tyre, and wife of Ahadad, infamous for her idolatry and cruel persecution of the prophets. And they give you a bunch of scriptures. I'm not going to go through that. Well, you're going to go to Zidonians, okay, because it does tell us that her father, okay, and we're talking about Ethbaal. This is Jezebel's father. He was king of the Zidonians. So I went and looked up Zidonians. When you go look it up, family, you're going to come to, let me see if I got the number for you in case you want to go look it up. I didn't got the number to that one, but I do have the Strong Concordance link pulled up for it. But anyhow, when you go there, you're going to see it says Zidon, 20 times it's mentioned, and Sidon, twice it's mentioned. Okay? It says, Zidonians. This is a very ancient and wealthy city of the Phoenicians. Now, let me keep reading for my mouth. It says, of the Phoenicians, fully called Sidon the Great or Sidon the Metropolis. The name of this city was applied to all northern Canaanites dwelling at the foot of Lebanon, which the Greeks call Phoenicians. And amongst them, the Tyranians were also included. Now it says Ethbaal, king of Tyre, is called the king of the Sidonians, that is, the Phoenicians. And this is a Gentile noun. Now, going back up there, we're going to get right back up there for a second. I'm going to pick you back up at, I was reading 1 Kings 16, verses 29 through 34. I'm going to read it again. And it came to pass, as if it were a light thing for him to do, that he walked in the sins of of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went to serve Baal and worship him. Let me get down, scroll down my page, family. Give me a second. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke Yahuwah against Yahuwah, father of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. I'll read it again. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke Yahuwah, father of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, we're talking about from Jeroboam's side, the Israel, not Judah, Israel. Okay? So he was the worst. Well, let's see what else he say. Verse 34. In his days did Hillel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundations thereof in Abraham, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in the youngest son, Segub, according to the word of Yahuwah, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Let me see. I think that's all I have for that part. But I got some very interesting things for you to see because I'm going to try to, let's see, it's 11:40. I'm going to try within the last part of the time we have right now and going into our third hour, I'm going to make a connection for you because I was saying words and defining words, and if you didn't pick them up, I'm going to re-say them and connect them for you. You can go look it up yourself. I'm going to show you a little something. A lot of people aren't understanding. That's why I define so many words, and I kind of like pinpointed certain words. Because everybody thinks that Jezebel, especially when you get to the book of Revelations They want to throw us, the Hebrew woman, with strange women, not even really understand the fullness of what is being spoke about in context of this woman Jezebel and what she did and what Israel did right behind her, okay? So I want to tie all that in for you guys, but what I need to do, let me just check, because, you know, I'm by myself. And I don't mind being by myself, but sometimes I got to take me a little thirsty break. I want to go ahead and play a quick song for you guys. I'm going to try to find one of my shortest, just so I can get some water. Okay, and then we're going to come right back. Matter of fact, let me see. I want to get something good for you guys. Okay, well, this would be coming like from the side. I'm going to play this. Y'all might be like, oh, no, she didn't. Yes, I am. I'm going to play. This is like from what we would say, I don't think that the Most High is with these people here, but, you know, I'm going to leave it like that. But this is what the tribe of Israel was under, people like this. Now, pay attention to this song. It's crazy now, but, hey, you got to hear it. It's called Booty. Pay attention.
Yes. Yeah, this is White Team Politics, yeah. Yeah, I want to talk about booty. Yeah, that's what it's going to be all about when the time comes. Yeah, I want to let you know about being a motherfucking king. This is what it's going to be all about. After we done destroyed our enemies and made them submit to us in every manner possible. We're gonna give you a chance to, you know, to bow down on your own. But then it's gonna come a time when, like I say, violence is gonna have to take its place. And I'm gonna read Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee shall I give forth prey. Yeah, another word they use for spoil is booty. You know, when a nation takes over another nation, they divide the booty up together. Yeah, so, you know, in every nation, we're going to have our booty when it comes to women. See, you Israelite women, y'all ain't going to be shit y'all can say about this, because it's going to be righteous. You know, the scripture back up, we're going to have women from the tribe of Moab, from the tribe of Elam, and from the tribe of Edom. That's right, you heard me, Edom. Now my wife, you know, she's gonna be, you know, Judah. That's gonna be my wife, but now these other women gonna be concubines. And the Judah ones, her head gonna be all the way down, you know, to the, it's gonna be so damn long, it's gonna be like a blanket. So when I go to sleep, I can use it to keep me warm. Yeah, I mean, I'll be in my chambers as a king, sipping on the finest wine in Jerusalem. I'm gonna be one smiling motherfucker. You best believe that. Shalom.
Okay. I will go back to reading Wikipedia. The cultural symbol. Now we're speaking of Jezebel. It says the name Jezebel, what you just heard, that recording called Bute. These were from Hebrew Israelites, okay, so-called Hebrew Israelites, let me say that. It says the name Jezebel came to be associated with false prophets and further associated by the 20th century with fallen or abandoned women. In Christian lore, a comparison to Jezebel suggests that a person was a pagan or an apostate masquerading, disguising themselves as a servant of Yahuwah. By manipulation and or seduction, She misled the saints of the Most High into sins of idolatry and sexual immorality. That's what we just heard, family. That's what we just heard. It says, in particular, Jezebel has come to be associated with promiscuity. In modern usage, the name Jezebel is sometimes used as a synonym for sexually promiscuous and sometimes controlling women. Now, what you just heard, that had a hint of sexual immorality there. Definitely, you got to go look at the Star of David that is being worn by some of these people who's talking about Bute. You see the Star of David, very pagan. Okay? So, Israel, that's who Jezebel, she married one of the kings that was over Israel, if you get in a hit. Now, Judah followed right along with it, too. Don't think they got out of it. Nope, Judah did, too. But it was right there with Jezebel. Now, let me go a little further with you. I want to really clip this in real well so that you guys get a complete understanding of what was going on. Now, I've taken some of this information out of Net Bible about Jezebel, and I'm going to give you guys the link so that you guys could just have it and save it and, you know, get back with it later. You know, I went to various places, so I'm going to give the chat line the link to Brother Calvin. You all right? Hey, sometimes I got to give these examples. I know sometimes it can be a little trying to hear some of this stuff, but hey, it is what it is. That's the link to the Net Bible for Jezebel, okay? I gave it to the chat line, everyone at home. All I did was I went to Net Bible, and I like to use that source as a strong concordance source, but it gives you way more information. It will go into the apocryphal books as well with the links and everything, so I do like to use that one. Okay, you good? Okay, that's good, Brother Kevin. Okay, let's continue. Now, if you have the link and you could open it up, go to the EBD, okay, of Jezebel. I'm going to read out that first. Okay, it says, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and the wife of Ahab, the king of Israel. This was the first time that the king of Israel had allied himself, okay, by marriage with a heathen princess. We know that they were from Sidonia. And the alliance was, in this case, a particularly disastrous kind. Jezebel has stamped her name on history as the representative of all that is designing, craftiness, malicious, revengeful, and cruel. She is the first great instigator of persecution against the saints of the Most High. But you know what? She wasn't a Hebrew. But they'll put it in there that she's the queen of Israel. You see what I'm saying? But this was not a Hebrew Israelite woman. So it says, guided by no principle, restrained by no fear of Yahuwah nor man, passionate in her attachments to her heathen worship, she spared no pains to maintain idolatry around her in all its splendor. 450 prophets ministered under her care to Baal, besides 400 prophets of the groves. It says prophets of Asherah, which ate at her tables. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. The idolatry, too, was of the most debased and sensual kind. Her conduct was, in many respects, very disastrous to the kingdom, both of Israel and Judah. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 29. At length, she came to an untimely end. As Jehu rode into the gates of Jezreel, she looked out at the window of the palace and said, had Zimri peace? Who slew his master? He looked up and called to her chamberlains, who instantly threw her from the window, so that she was dashed into pieces on the streets, and his horses trotted her under their feet. She was immediately consumed by the dogs of the street. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 7 through 37. According to the word of Elijah, the Tishbite, Okay. 1 Kings 21, verse 19. He had prophesied that was going to happen to her. Okay. Her name afterwards came to be used as a synonym for a wicked woman. And they give you Revelations 2, which is where they say Jezebel, verse 20. It may be noted that she is said to have been the grand aunt of Dido, the founder of Carthage. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of these names, Dido and all that, that brings you right back into the Maccabees. That's what I was saying. Some of this stuff, if you, like her dad, go read about him in the Maccabees. I know I read about him before. I didn't have time to go back and pull it out. But, yeah, some of these names, y'all, goes right back into the time of the Maccabees. Anyhow, go look at Jezebel. And go to the part where it says Nave, N-A-V-E. Go look at that part. I'm going to read that. It says Jezebel. These are just different commentaries from different sources. But they say Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, a Sidonian, and wife of Ahab. Now, they give you verses. I'm going to go and read what those verses are. If you go to 1 Kings 16, verse 31, it tells you, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. We're talking about the northern kingdom family, the northern kingdom. Now, it says that Jezebel was an idolater and persecuted the prophets of Yahuwah. Now, you can get that in 1 Kings, beginning with chapter 18, verses 4, 13, and 19. I'm going to read them for you real quick. And it says, "For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Most High, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Was it not told, my lord, what I did?" My tongue. This was the, let me see, this is his name later on. Elijah was talking to him. So it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Most High, and these were the ones who were truly speaking the Father's word." She wanted to put those prophets of Baal in the place, you know. And then you wonder why when they start counting the Leviticals, it seemed like most of those people, you know, they didn't let those people be Levitical priests. Most of them were not of the tribe of Levi. Okay, when you get to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay. So anyhow, it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahuwah that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with the bread and water. Was it not told, my lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Most High, how I hid 100 men of Yahuwah's prophets by the 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, that's how many she had, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So he was calling, Elijah was calling Obadiah, told him, go ahead and tell them to bring all those prophets, all those fake prophets, bring them all here, because we're going to prove who is working by the Ruach of the Most High, who is actually speaking to the Most High, and who isn't, because Jezebel had put her people in there. So when you get to 1 Kings chapter 18, if you read verses 4, 13, and 19, which I'm going to read to you, let's see. No, I read that already. Give me a second. Go to 2 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 2 and 13. It says, "And he wrought evil in the sight of Yahuwah, but not like his father and like his mother. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. And Elijah said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for Yahuwah hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." I'm trying to think where I got this from. Hold on a second. That's just my thought. This is still leaving with Jezebel. When you go a little further in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 7 and 22, it reads, "And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahuwah at the hand of Jezebel." See, Jezebel was killing off the Most High's prophets. So it says, "And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" Now, there's a vow to kill Elijah here, okay? This is by Jezebel. Go to 1 Kings 19, verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3, rather. We'll read it. Now, remember, Elijah, he wanted to get rid of all. He actually did. He showed who the father was with and who the father wasn't. But they want to kill him off. Jezebel wanted to kill him off. Okay, so by the time you get to Elijah being vowed to be killed by Jezebel, remember she had all those false prophets and stuff, Baal worshippers. Anyhow, it says in 1 Kings verse chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword." Okay? And this is right after he proved in front of the whole congregation, you know, where they had to put sacrifices up, and Elijah went and poured water all over his, and his still was the only one that was taken by the Most High. The other prophets, you know, he started mocking them because they couldn't, theirs wouldn't burn. Uh-oh, they give me 90 seconds. I better do this because I'm not quite finished yet. Okay, if anybody wants to go ahead and switch over, now is the time. You will be disconnected in about a minute and a half. The number is 646-595-4111. Okay, and if you get dropped, you won't be able to get back on because that's how Blog Talk works. I'm going to go ahead and put this number on the chat line. Anybody else want to... anybody else wants to continue with this, okay? Because we're going to really show you something about Jezebel that many people might not even realize. Okay, we're getting to the brunt of it. I see people are getting knocked off for some reason. Ooh, you got about 20-something seconds here. The number is 646-595-4111. And if you don't get on, you know, just go ahead and listen to the archives. Okay, because I came on a little late. Okay, it all filled back up. Something happened real quick. I see everybody wants to hear. Good. But 646-595-4111. I want to link all this up for you guys really well. Like I said, it will be in my notes. I thank everyone who came out to sojourn with us today. Hey, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. Keep them first in your life. Sin, if you sin, repent. Come back righteously to our Father. All right, shalom. And that's for the chat line internet. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Now, let's go a little further. Let's go a little further because, see, you're going to get some understanding about this Jezebel that they like to throw the Hebrew woman with. I don't get it. I mean, how bad do you think of us? And the ones who do this, they're the ones who go into the new covenant with Paul's writing and don't understand Paul was rebuking what they are trying to put forward. The Torah keepers, they are Torah keepers. Doing the same thing the scribes and Pharisees were doing. I hope you're seeing it all. That's why I took that one little booty thing, so you can get it. But this was done to our people, and it wasn't our people. Our people sinned, so the Father was chastising us with the other nations. That's the brunt of it. He always did. But when they rewrote everything in English, it makes it seem like everything was us. No, not everything was us. We did wrong, yes, because the Father's main concern was, he said, "I'm going to see if you're going to obey me, if you're going to hearken to me. If you're going to hearken to me, no matter who's in charge, who's doing what, are you going to hearken to my word?" Okay? So let's get back there. By the time we get to, let me see my computer. Okay. Let's go to where Jezebel vows to kill Elijah. Okay, this is taken out of 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Remember, Elijah had killed off those prophets, so she was threatening to kill him. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, we're going to go read another little part, but just give you some understanding about this Jezebel, what she was up to. Wickedly accomplishes the death of her husband, Naboth. Oh, not her husband, I'm sorry. This was the one who owned the field, Naboth. Okay, they wanted the piece of land. Remember? These are traits. These are traits. They always try to steal your land. Who stole Israel's land? Who stole the nation of Israel's land? You know what I'm saying? That identity theft, you know what I'm talking about? Well, check it out here, family. This is what Jezebel, she was with her husband, Hadad. Is that his name, Hadad? Let me make sure I got the right names here. I go so many places. But anyhow, she made sure that he took this person's land. So just check it out, what's being done right here. Okay. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 5 through 16, here it is. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, and I will not give thee my vineyard. Okay? It says, and Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So he hearkened to her. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letter unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme the Most High and the King, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezreel had said unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme Yahuwah and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they said to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, her husband, the king, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Now, this is just the wickedness of this woman. Okay, but remember, She was a Phoenician, or you could say she was a, as the word says, Zidonian. She was not a Hebrew woman, okay? And the ones that were over, whether they be lost sheep, and I'm not going to say for sure what they are, but what I will tell you is this. He did say that he was going to keep a remnant. The remnant that he did keep was with the tribe of Judah. Just know that. But when you go look up these names and then you go and figure out there always seem to be more people in Israel doing folly. By the time you go, and you can figure that out in the book of David, too, the last book of David, very last two or three chapters, read that, when he was putting those chiefs in his army, and then he was told to go ahead and take a count of the people. And there was an enormous number of people where Israel had way more than Judah, and he knew he had sinned, and he, you know, the Most High cut off some of those people. He said, hey, you got three choices. He sent an angel. Tell David you got three choices. Which one do you want to get chastised with? And David said for the Most High to pick. So they wound up, for 3 days, they wound up sending something in the land, and so many, I think it was like maybe like 20,000 in the 20s, in the tens of thousands were killed off, if I'm not mistaken. Not 100,000, but it was like tens of thousands were killed off. But there was something wrong when he looked up and took a tally count. And there's going to be something wrong when they take a tally count of the people with the genealogies involved by the time you get to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And if you look at the lineages, you know, family, and look at some of these names, and I'm going to get to some points that I'm getting ready to bring out in a second so you can really get it. Let me go on. So the death was foretold, okay, about Jezebel. 1 Kings 21, verse 23. And of Jezebel, who spake Yahuwah, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And of Jezebel also spoke Yahuwah, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. When you go to 2 Kings 9, verses 7 through 10, it reads, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Most High at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Okay, and the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door, and he fled. Now, that's Jehu gave that prophecy. Now, the death of, and at the hands of Jehu, you can read about that in 2 Kings 9, verses 30-37. I'm just giving you guys a little bit of understanding because I'm going to connect some more things for you here in a second. Okay, so the death of Jezebel at the hands of Jehu, it reads, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace? Who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out of women, and there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trotted her underfoot. And when he was come in, we're talking about Jehu, this is what he did to her, he did eat and drink and said, go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they were found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and they told him, they told Jehu, and he said, this is the word of Yahuwah the Most High, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. This is not Jezebel. Now, I read all of that to you because I'm getting ready to link some more stuff in for you. They take you to figuratively speaking of Jezebel in Revelation 2, verse 20. Now, I'm going to take you there because I'm going to show you something else, which a lot of people are overlooking. Okay, like I said, all this is in the notes. Everything I'm reading is going to be in the notes. Let me take a sip. All right. Now, let's see. I want to handle this. Let me see. Revelations 2:20. Hold on a second. I put down Revelations 2, verses 18 to 29, because I always think you get just a little bit more out of it. The reason why is I want to bring Thyatira in there. Okay, this is one of the assemblies that were being spoken of in Revelations when they have talked about the seven assemblies. They call them seven churches, but they're talking about the people, seven assemblies, okay? So I'm going to read to you guys Revelations 2, verses 18 to 29. I'm going to give a little understanding. I'm going to be going back and forth. You're going to get it. Pay attention. And unto the angel of the assembly in Thyatira write, these things said the Son of Yahuwah, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charities and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things that are sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the assemblies shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the set apart Spirit, saith unto the assembly. Now, I read that because they said figuratively, And really it is figuratively, because everything, when we deal with what's going on today with the, in the new covenant, after the death, resurrection, and of Yahushua, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, things became spiritual, okay? That's why we're to put on the full armor of the Most High, because things are spiritual. Now, they did give that part of Jezebel. Now, when you read that part of Jezebel, it tells you, that woman Jezebel, but this is figuratively speaking, which called herself a prophetess. Okay, she was no prophetess. She was no Hebrew Israelite either. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. How did she do that? Well, she bought in that Phoenician or that Zidonian, which was Balaam worship. She bought it right in, and she, because her husband let her do it. They set up these groves and everything, and the people start doing like the Zidonians. Okay, so she taught them to do this. And she, it says, to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So they were doing the same feast which we read about, that the Father said, he's sick of these things that we're doing. Who told you to come? Who called you to this sacrifice? I didn't call you. That's when the Father was speaking of that, because this had been done. Israel had participated in this. Judah gets into it later, but we're talking about Israel right now. Israel the two kingdoms, right? We're talking about the northern kingdom. They got into this mess. So a lot of this stuff right here, it says, I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. I gave her space to repent of her fornications, talking about the children of Israel, okay? And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Remember, these, when he gets to the assemblies and revelations, a lot of them did some stuff that was all right, but they had some problems with them. Okay, you got this good, but this right here, idolatry, get rid of it. Don't be worshiping any other deities. Don't eat those sacrifice things to those devils. Don't eat that. You know, a lot of people were doing different things. That's what Paul was rebuking as well as the other apostles. Okay, so it says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, which means it's still going on today. This is end time prophecy, baby. End time prophecy. People are still under that faulty doctrine, still worshiping idols, still doing all kind of things just like the heathens. That's exactly what this is speaking of. Okay, now I want to take you somewhere with that. When you go into the assembly at Thyatira, I'm going to take you somewhere. I have it in my notes. I'm just going to read it. Thyatira. And let me close out my chat line to make sure my computer doesn't freeze, family. All right. Okay, when you go to Thyatira, it tells you, Thyatira was a wealthy town in the northern part of Lydia of the Roman province of Asia on the river Lycus. It says, a city of the province of Lydia in Western Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. Situated, and who's in modern Turkey today? Let me just say that. Okay, anyhow, it says situated on the road from Pergamos to Sardis. Now, we talked about Pergamos in the prophecies. Y'all know that, but let's just keep going. The city was on the southern bank of the Lycus River, a branch of the Hermus River. Although never a large city, Thyatira was a thriving manufacturing and commercial center during the New Covenant times. Archaeologists have uncovered evidence of many trade guilds and unions here. Membership in these trade guilds, necessary for financial and social success, often involved pagan customs and practices such as superstitious worship, union feasting using food sacrificed to pagan gods, and loose sexual morality. Go back to your secret covenants and your secret societies on this one, family. Understand that all this stuff links right back up to the people of the Canaanites. Remember that, okay? Rome links back up to the Canaanites. Those Jews link back up to the Canaanites. But all of this stuff is all within Rome. I hope you're getting it. But they'll give you hints when you read what they're saying. They'll give you hints. Now, this was Thyatira. Okay, this was one of the places that is mentioned. Let me go back and forth. That was mentioned in Revelations 2. That's where that idolatrous and that immorality and eating food sacrificed to devils and all this filthiness. But they're talking about Jezebel. Well, sexual immorality, all these, and it was dealing with success. It's like Satan is buying you off for the riches of the world, and there's ceremonies, there's rituals, there's all this idolatrous pagan practices that you have to do to obtain it, but this is what was being done in Thyatira. Okay, so let me go a little further with this because I want to make sure everybody's going to get what I'm going to have to say here. It says the book of Revelations refers to a certain woman known as Jezebel, who taught and beguiled the Hebrews at Thyatira to conform to the paganism and sexual immorality of their surroundings. And it gives you the chapters and verses. It says, in the assembly in Thyatira, one of the seven assemblies which are in Asia, Jezebel followers seem to have been a minority. because the majority of the Hebrews in this assembly are commended. But it was still going on. It says the Apostle Paul first convert in Europe was a certain woman called Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. You can find that in Acts 16:14. Okay, remember the woman that was a seller of purple? Because, you know, our people wore purple. But check this out. I want to tie in purple with it too now. Just remember, the Apostle Paul's first convert in Europe. This area was Turkey. This, I don't care that they try to throw these names at you and you can't figure it out. Thyatira goes back to Jezebel. Why do you think that Ahab, the Edomite, and Jeroboam, all in the line, well, Jeroboam the king, was in the line of Israel? They all ran to Egypt. During that time, they were running to Egypt. They were taking the wives back and forth. You got your Canaanitish people. The Canaanitish people could be linked right back to your pope, okay? And when I shouldn't say your pope, but your queen of England, okay? But it runs back to the pope because the deities were all worshipped. The same Phoenician, the fish head god, remember? All of this falls back to the same people. So let's go a little further. It says Apostle Paul's first convert in Europe was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira in Acts 16, verse 14. The modern name of Thyatira is Akhisar, which means white castle. It says, now that's all from there. Let's go a little further. This was taken from the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, copyright 1986. Thomas Nelson Publisher. Now, because we know that in Thyatira, this woman named Lydia was a seller of purple from a city of Thyatira, that this was something that was of value. There's many places in the scripture where they will tell you about this purple, wearing of the purple garment, but there's other places that will give you signs. You have to know that they're going to blend the good with the bad. They take what is righteous and they pervert it and flip it, but when you read it, it might escape your perception because you're only looking at, we know our people were doing that. Well, let's check it out here. Purple, when you go look it up in the Net Bible, because that caught my attention right away, because that's what this woman who was in the same place as Jezebel was in, the same place that we're teaching our people idolatry, sexual behaviors that were, you know, with rituals, and it was a place of manufacturing, and that's why they wanted his land. They wanted to kill off Naboth because they were, they also bought some property by the river so they could, you know, get the business going, get more property, get more money. That's what it was all about with this Jezebel, commercializing, I guess you can call it. But one of the things that it tells us is that's where Paul went, and that was one of the first women, and this was a Hebrew who was living out in Thyatira in Acts 16:14, that he converts. She was living in Europe. It tells you that, okay? All these places, that's by Turkey. Okay, you know who's standing there now. But let's go a little further. That word purple, because this was something that was in the scripture, was during the time of the same context of this Jezebel. It says purple, okay? Purple dye was manufactured by the Phoenicians. Well, wasn't that the same thing as the Zidonians and the, they were known, Zidonians were known as Phoenicians is what I'm trying to say. Go look it up in the Net Bible, okay? So it tells us purple dye was manufactured by the Phoenicians. Link it right back up to Jezebel, okay? From a marine mollusk, Murex tunicolus. It says the shell was broken in order to give access to a small gland which was removed and crushed. Who knows? That might have been a pineal gland. I don't know, family, because I didn't have time to really research that too much. But it says the crushed gland gives a milky fluid that becomes red or purple on exposure to the air. Remember the colors red and purple. Scarlet, remember? Okay, hold on. On exposure to the air. Piles of these broken shells still remain on the coast at Sidon and Tyre. The purple gland is found in various species of murex and also of purpura. Okay, these are mollusks they got this dye from. It says the kings of Midian had purple raiment. When you go to, let me see if I can get it up. Oh, I hope I can. Yep. Okay. Okay. It says, I've got to go back and forth here, family. Ooh, I lost my page. Well, that's all right. Okay, let me get there because I didn't know it was going to do that. It says the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold besides the ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the king of Midian. All this was on the king of Midian. And besides the chains that were about his camel's necks. And it just talks about, give me a second. There you go. I remember reading the same thing. Yeah, that's what it's saying, huh? Oh, hold on. I got to go back. My page jumped on me. Give me a second. Okay. Give me a second to get there. Well, it doesn't, you know, maybe they gave me the wrong one. It's supposed to be Judges 8. 26, and I'm not going to click it again because it takes me to a whole different page, but it says the king of Midian had purple raiments on. Okay, Mordecai was clothed with purple raiments by Ahasuer, and that's in Esther 8, verse 15. It says Yahuwah by the Roman soldiers, okay, and you can read about that in Mark 15, and I want to read some of this stuff for you. Mark 15, verses 17 and 20, and in John 19, verses 2 and 5. I'm going to read one of them for you because it says, and when they had finished mocking him, speaking about Yahushua, these were the Romans, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own cloak back on him. So the Romans had the purple cloak. That's what I want to get across to you guys. Then they led him away to be crucified. Okay, I wanted you guys to get the understanding. When we talk about this color purple, and it does go right back to those Phoenician gods, which always, all roads lead to Rome is what I'm trying to get you to understand, and I hope I'm making this clear. But when you go to Mark 15, verse 20, and verse 17 and 20, I'm going to read both of them. This is talking about Yahushua. We're talking about that color purple because they were dyeing these garments, but who was doing it? Who was big for dyeing these purple garments? We're going to find out in the end of Revelation who also links right back up with them. Hold on a second. Mark 15, verse 17 and 20. It says, they put a purple cloak on him after braiding a crown of thorns. These are the Romans. They put it on him. When they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own cloak back on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. Linking it back to the Romans, right? Pay attention, family. It's going to get deep here. This is where all the good juicy stuff is. Let me get this page back again. Okay, so that was one account, okay? Another account they give you is John 19, verses 2 and 5. I didn't look at this one either, but let me see what it says. It says the soldiers braided. Okay, this is the same thing. I'm going to read it. The soldiers braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. So Yahushua came outside wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, look, here is the man. This was taken out of John 19. I read verses 2 and 5. Now, I'm trying to show you something with this purple dealing with the Romans. I'm making a connection for you. But as long as you know, we're also making the connection of what was in the land and the understanding of that that idolatrous behavior and where all this comes from, because it's going to link to giving an explanation of when they talk about that Babylon, that great city falls down, everybody thinks it's America. It's not America. I'm just giving you more understanding, okay? And I hope I didn't confuse you. Okay, let's go on. So that's some place to talk about this purple. Remember, it was manufactured by the Phoenicians, okay? This was the Zidonians, okay? It says the rich man of Luke in 16:19 and the scarlet woman of Revelations. But let's go to Luke 16:19 really quick. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fare sumptuous every day. Now, when you got to read the whole story, but just understand it. They talk about a rich man, you know, and if you go get the understanding that we just read it about it with Jezebel, her nature and what she was doing and what basically all that she stood for represented, which was talking about these secret societies, talking about how to get wealth and things like that. But then her name blends in with Thyatira in Revelation 2, speaking of the area where they was doing things with the Phoenician gods, deities. But that woman was making this purple dye. And when she made the purple dye, yes, some people use purple in their patterns too, but when she made it, it was for the wealth of the Phoenicians. That's who Paul took out of that idolatrous behavior, and she accepted the Most High, and she accepted Yahushua for the truth. So now we go back. One more place here. Hold on. Okay, family, I'm going as fast as I can. Ooh, I thought my computer was about to... Ooh, let me not say nothing. Okay. And then they talk about the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 18, verses 12 and 16, were arrayed in purple. Purple is the merchandise of Babylon. Revelation 18 and 20, you can read it there. It is surprising that Ezekiel speaks of the Tyranians as obtaining purple from the Isles of Elisha in Ezekiel 27, verse 7. And from Syria, we were reading about these same people in the Book of Kings. I don't know if y'all remember when I was reading about Hadad and all them. Keep in mind, family, it gets deep. Okay, I have other places to go with you guys, but I don't know if I'm going to read all these. Where I'm going to go next with you guys, because we're going to get a little understanding about how this purple, this Phoenician, these deities and everything, how through Jezebel, and if you don't understand where Jeroboam, why Jeroboam and why Hadad ran up to Egypt. See, there was many times there was war going on and people were getting displaced. But no doubt the Canaanites were in the land. When you go even over to the book of Maccabees, okay, and I'm going to do that later because something has been bothering me. I got to go take a look at it because I know I've heard it before. I've read it before, talking about the Hadad, how he was raised there and so on and so forth. I got to go back to that book. But just to give you a little understanding, he was an Edomite, by the way, if you don't remember me saying it. Now, I want to go further with this. I don't want to let it just stay there. Here's your connection to Rome. We're going to go to Revelation 17:4. It says, and the woman, which is Greek 11:35, it means widow. Remember I pointed out that word widow earlier when I was talking about 1 Kings with when Solomon, you know, when he was getting ready to lose his, actually the kingdom was going to be rent in two, and I talked about that widow son. Okay. Going back to Revelation 17:4, it says, and the woman, if you go hit it up, the woman who was arrayed in purple and scarlet, which is red, we just read about it, okay, That red color, I read to you how they make that dye. It can be red and purple, same thing. But it said, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication. Remember, that sounds like Jezebel. Let's go a little further. The word woman, if you go and look it up in a Strong Concordance, it's going to be Greek 11:35. When you go take a look at it, it'll tell you, it gives you the same definition for woman for everything. Even when we go into the New Covenant speaking of, and that woman or every woman, I was telling you guys that means the assembly, the church. Same thing it gives here, but what you got to understand, it'll tell you this. There's many meanings for the word woman. When we're speaking of Israel, we are definitely talking about a wife or a betrothed. But when you talk about Satan people, that's the best way to say it, something evil, look at that word widow. Now, you should know why I'm telling you look at the word widow. The word widow is usually a woman or a mother with no husband or father for her child. Okay? Did you get what I just said? I said it's talking about a woman who's a widow. The father, well, first of all, she's a widow to our father because she's not from our father. But if you know what I'm trying to tell you here, let's go some other places. I don't want to stop it there because I'm watching my time. But it says that this woman is going to be arrayed, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. That's Revelation 17:4. You're going to go down a little bit. It's going to get juicier. Hold on a second. Now, I just told you guys that that word woman means widow, okay? Now, this widow woman, okay, whose father is her husband, she's not betrothed to our father, Yahuwah. She's a widow woman. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but she's a widow woman is what she is. Okay, let's go there. Go back to Hiram Abiff, who was dealing with King Solomon, because he was also known as the widow's son, that is, Satan's son or seed. I hope you're going to get this. Now, what do they have in common? Well, that's your secret societies, and it deals with wealth, moving up a line, but there's a lot of adulterous behavior, fornication, and God-worshipping and God's-worshipping and things like that. It falls back in the line when we were reading about the culture of Jezebel, what that was all under. Now, look at the notes and you can figure it out, or just go back and re-listen to the show, one of the two. But you're going to see the connections here, family. Now, with that understanding, and we've been bringing Edom in, in case y'all don't want to know about them Canaanite-ish people. Those were not the what you would see termed today as the Africans the Egyptians from the line of, actually that would be Africans, but anyhow, out of the line of Ham, that wasn't his, those were Canaanite-ish, the inhabitants of the land. Totally different. That's why when you get to the Phoenician hat with their gods and goddesses, and a lot of the things from Egypt were brought over to Rome as well as to the White House, and you know that Esau is in rule in the end time, you see all this Phoenician, this Canaanite-ish stuff brought over from Egypt. Now, check this out. Revelation 18, I'm going to be reading verses 9 to 12. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, we're talking about this woman, shall bewail her and lamentate her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, everybody thinks this is America. It is. This ain't old America. Uh-uh. No, because you got to follow the dreams of, Daniel's dreams. When we talk about the beast and all that stuff. You can't look outside and say this is this because, yeah, we know this is happening here. You got to look within the book and let the book, which is our history book, define what they're speaking of. And you got to go with the prophets. And they gave you the prophecies where if you look within the scripture, you should be able to link it up. Now, we did that show already talking about the abomination of desolation. We're going to hit back on it again real soon. But let's check this out. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lamentate for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon. This is something spiritual. Of whoredoms, confusion. The great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and of silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood. And all manners of vessels of ivory, and all manners of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble. We're going to go from Revelation 18, and we're going to dip down just a little bit further and pick the rest of it up from 12 to 21. I'm going to reread it. Okay, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to reread it. I'm going to go to 13. Let's finish reading it, because we're getting an understanding of what are some, you should know them by their fruit. They always do the same thing. The scriptures give us hints. Many of us want to look outside in the world today and say, okay, well, Obama doing this and think we know everything. They saw Trade Tower, when that fell apart. Then everybody was making those movies out there talking about, see, Babylon, she's finishing one day because that was the commerce. That's a central point of all the commerce in and out. You know, the United States, she's falling. Nobody can trade with her. You know, they're still trading today. Okay, let's get off that. Revelation 18, let's pick up at verse 13. And cinnamons and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruit that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Okay, I think I read, did I read all this? And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold. We know that's Rome. Come on now, y'all. That's the popes. Anyhow, it said, and it's religious because she was giving them the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, just like Jezebel. They were serving Balaam, the devil, whatever you want to call him, Satan. Whatever makes you feel good, that's the same thing that's going on. I mean, can you not read it and understand? I don't know why people say in America they can be misled, because it's something that, even the mark, it's a belief. It's not anything anybody can physically stamp on you. A lot of things are spiritual, and people don't even get the understanding. They try to look out in the world today, oh, this must be it. I've heard about 10 new stories recently as I was doing my research on the web. But anyhow, off that, it says, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, the same one, they are with the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians, the fish hat god that we see that the Roman Catholic popes wear, which is the mother harlot, and she got her little daughter harlot churches from underneath her that actually teach the same thing she does. It's the same thing going round and round, and people aren't picking up on this. Anyhow, it says, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And we know that Rome got some money. Y'all see the way that stuff laid out. If you remember with Solomon, how he was loading up Israel, when he was making the temple, everything was laid over with gold. Well, these people, they really went all out. Even that little harlot church that's down the street from me, that's Roman Catholic. Y'all, they got marble floors. I ain't never seen a church like this before in my life. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Everything is gold up in there. Mm-hmm. Going on. Anyhow, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so rich is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the companies in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye set apart apostles and prophets. I wonder why the apostles and the prophets. Paul was a prophet. He was dealing with those same type of teachings. And the prophets who got slain by Jezebel, who was a Zidonian, a Phoenician, the fish hat, God is what they worship. All roads lead to Rome. Get it? I hope you're getting it. Anyhow, it says, for Yahuwah hath avenged you on her. Okay? And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down. And it's a bondage, right, family? City of Babylon, it's a bondage. And shall be found no more at all. Now, let's see. I'm going to go just a little bit further with you guys. Let me see how much time I got. I tell you what, family, I hope y'all get an understanding of all this, but when you go and really research and look up the words, and even when it comes to the end time prophecy, you better make sure you're doing it right. I'm going to leave my notes out, and I'm going to put them out as soon as I finish the show so that everybody, a lot of the words aren't changed in there, the pagan words, but, you know, I'll get them done as need to be. But I want everybody to have the notes available to them. I have videos at the end as well because it goes into a little bit of information. Like I got the Paul, I have Paul the Apostle full movie. It's a Bible movie. Of course, they got the white people in it. But off that, Edom is in there. But you can see the nature of what was going on. And you can kind of imagine what was going on. And then by the time you read the story, you can put two and two together. Just put us in there and take out the wrong people. But you can get an idea of what was going on. Same thing with the robe. You don't have to put the robe in there because they mentioned Yahushua's robe, the Roman robe that was put on him. And the robe is talking about, they're talking about the robe of Yahushua. But I put the robe on there for you guys to view as well. So these are full movies, 1953, The Robe. And they also have the, I can't think of what's the name of it. It's The Robe 2. It's on there as well. Paul the Apostle, full movie clip. And then I put an example of an unlearned Torah keeper, because these unlearned Torah keepers, they always go to these verses, and they want to keep pushing the Torah. They go to a lot of verses that push the Torah, but Yahushua came to bring it spiritual. And when you do that, you will make mistakes by saying verses that don't pertain to Hebrew women, because you don't know that Paul was rebuking such teaching, and you'll go there, and you want to say you're right. You keep going back to the law. You even throw that Jezebel in on them. And these are not what the Father is speaking about. I've done many, many different shows. People are probably getting sick of me by now, for those of you who understand. But I've been doing those shows to try to cover all the points so that you can see that it's not what is being spoken of. But anyhow, I have those on the website in our show notes. And, it is what it is, family. This Jezebel, and when you really look how it did in when I was going over the Canaanite-ish and showing you, and maybe I got to do some more showing because I do want to show you a video. I call it All Roads Lead to Rome, dealing with the deities. And if you understand that all these, like this one man said, I'll tell you this. This one man said he was talking about the Tower of Babel. More confusion there. That's what the Tree of Knowledge and Good and Evil was, more confusion. But everything seems to stem around that Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is where the confusion went on to the languages, okay? Now we got the languages coming back again in secret societies. They're all still under the last captivity we're under, which is the Roman captivity. They're all still under that. And all the Canaanite-ish and deities and thinkings and all this filthiness has come in from this. And it's right there in Rome. All the daughters, they've all learned the lie. All our people, we were under captivity. We took on the oppressors, religion, ways. Father says, come out from among her. Why do people want to say that America is the only wicked one? Our people are scattered over the four corners of the earth. That Babylon, and you know that Rome has its reaches far. You should know this. You should know this. But anyhow, the reaches far and long. And it really does encompass the globe because it tells us that Esau will be ruling in the end. Okay? Jacob is the one that follows. Who's Esau? Well, that's the white man. That's Edom. What is Rome? What are the Jewish Israelites or whatever? And all these wicked other countries that are headed by Edomites. It's all the same thing, family. Babel went out, but where is that red and scarlet, and where did it all start from? Well, that was your Roman Empire, which is Esau, but it's your Roman Empire. So I just wanted to make the connection to give you guys a little bit more understanding. If you didn't get when I did the Abomination of Desolation and bringing it back to Rome, I'll be going back over that, no doubt, but all roads do lead to Rome. I know people get tired of me saying it, but it's the truth. All roads do lead to Rome. If you just understand that the Phoenicians are the Zidonians, if you look at the word Zidonians and the first thing on your mind thinking, oh, that's people from Ham. Yes, it is. But there's more that took place. Why would Hadad the Edomite run there? And why would Jeroboam run there? And why is it that when Joseph and the Hebrew Israelites and some of the Africans, okay, the lineage, the Pharaoh lineage, I can't think of what they're called, but anyhow, why is it that when they went to bury Jacob, that the Canaanite-ish person, the Canaanite, when the famine was going on in the land, that's another trait. They always got famines wherever they go, but anyhow, the Canaanite was there, he couldn't tell the difference between us and the Hamitic lineage. Okay? Why is it that nobody can figure none of this stuff out? Because the Canaanitish lineage is the same reason that the Queen of England said they got the right to rule. That's the same reason that Israel wants to have identity theft with the true people of Jacob, the lineage of Israel, the 12 tribes. Because all of that went, it all went white. It all went to Edom. But these deities, these are, it's like when the people got scattered, it was the same deity they were worshiping. Okay? It was the same, because remember, what's his name? The Tower of Babel. What's his name? I can't think of his name, family. You know what I'm talking about. In Genesis, what, 10? Was it 10? Okay. Oh, he said, took my tongue. He became a mighty hunter. I can't think of his name, though. It's escaping me right this second. But he was of the lineage of Ham. But he became something else. You got to get it. And what happened? The same deity that was being worshipped, which is the Phoenician and all that, it just, when Babel came upon, you got the same deity, the Phoenician fishhead god, with different names that had scattered. Now you got different names for the same deity, but it all goes back. And where did it go back to? Right back to Rome. It went back to Esau's genealogy. That's why you get these pyramids and all this Phoenician crap everywhere. So that's it. I'm done. Family, I've been working on this all day. Okay, all day. And I still want to get back to my reading. So I pray, and I tell you what, we got a few seconds here. I got about 8 minutes. I'm going to open up my calling line. If anybody would like to say, if they caught a part, missed a part, didn't understand a part, go ahead and put up your hand, and I'll get you on, and you can comment. So go ahead. I'd like to give you guys a little time. I don't want to just cut you off quick. So that's basically it. But, I mean, when you really read and study this stuff, family, it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Now, there is something, like I said, when you get to the last book of Samuel, okay, where David is reigning king at the moment, and he takes that count, go look up some of them names, and just go and understand that he said, I'm going to give it to thy servant. Remember, even when we get to King Solomon. King Solomon took wives of all these nations that we're talking about right now, the Zidonians, the Edomites, the Hivites. He took all of them straight. He had 700 wives and, what, 300 concubines? You know he had all them wives. So that's why I said, the children of Israel, we were sinning with the things the Father told us not to do. 9 times out of 10, what you sin with was what he chastised you with. He put those nations on us, different nations, always to chastise Israel, but the sin of what we were doing, which was taking all these wives, that's what happened in the book of Judges, and that's what happened with King Solomon. And I think King David did it too, if I'm not mistaken. But anyhow, the whole point is, didn't you wonder why by the time you get to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, they got a polluted seed, a large amount of polluted seed that came out of these captivities. There's some hanky-panky going on. You wonder how they got into the temple, and you usually had to call them out. A lot of hanky-panky went on, family. So I just wanted to give you a little bit more wisdom. But as far as when we talk about the Hebrew sisters and all that, Jezebel was a Zidonian. She was not of our people at all. And it's really interesting if you want to go back to the book of Maccabees, because you go look up that princess Penothea, whatever her name was, and go look up Hadad and all that. In 1 Kings, what is it, 10? Go look at those people, because I'm almost positive they go right back to the Maccabees. A little bit more insight if you want to go check that out, because something was going on, and they were dealing with they were going over to Egypt too, and they were intermingling. A lot of this is taking place through the Hellenistic period. They call it the Hellenistic period, where I call it is where the mixing took place between the serpent seed and the I guess you could call it the serpent seed and the Canaanites doing that part. You know, there's a lot of stuff took place. The Canaanites, you know, they were in the land. They were the giants. All this stuff, fam, it's just a lot. It becomes overwhelming. I looked through a lot of stuff today. I'm going to leave my notes out. I'm going to end it right there. Since nobody put up their hand, I'm going to assume that you guys kind of understood this. I pray you did. I pray it's beneficial to your studying. Go research it. Everybody else, I'm going to end it right now so that I can go ahead and put my notes out. I'm going to put my feet up now because I've been doing this all day. So with that said, family, thank you for coming out and joining me. Hey, stay in the Father's word. All right, if you sin, repent. Shalom.
Marvelous light.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could relate to that,
oh,
this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees, crying, looking for the answer, but it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right. He's so scriptures said it was gonna get worse.